Here we go. So I think we'll get started because the challenge here is going to be try to accomplish as much as we can in the topics that are here. I actually had a lot of trouble trying to do this year because there's really not one thread that runs through all the different topics. So it's like 10, 11, 12 different sundry topics. These are the exemptions to the muksa. Someone said this is the way to get out of muksa, the heter from muksa. But once again, there's nothing where that comes together. So my handout, by the way, is a little different than the handouts until now, and the fact that I don't really expect to do all of it. It's more of like a working process for me. So when I run through stuff, it doesn't mean that we're out of time. It could mean we're out of time, but also could mean that this is just simply the way I want to really do it. So really the first, and the way it's set up, you'll notice, I think there are 11 different subsets of what ways there are for muksa that would be permissible, either pushed off or deferred or completely permissible to do. And the first one really goes back to an issue that comes up in the Gemara, which is about moving muksa in order to prevent monetary loss. You can't move muksa in general. However, even if it's going to be ruined, however, in a case where there's going to be three situations where Chazal seem to allow muksa, one was for Daleka, for fire, one was for Anosim, for looters, which, by the way, comes up probably a lot more post-Talmudic than it did Talmudic. And the third situation is about Hichshicha Lavaderech, which is when you are going home and you run out of time and you've got muksa with you, right? Which is what may happen if we run out of the lights here, okay? So the Gemara actually comes up and talks in a couple of places about this, but the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin is the source number one. And source number one talks about the fact that if there's a Daleka that you can actually save food for three meals, or if it's a middle Shabbos, two meals, or one meal. And you actually, in terms of yourself, it's more for saving for the rest of the house. You can't do it. Other people could. But in terms of yourself, the Gemara says that you can't go in. This is Amar Rav in the end of Source 1. We talk Shadam Bala Mamono, Isharis Lev Yasu Lechvuyi. If we let him take everything out, he'll probably come to, he'll probably put the fire out. And therefore, as a result, we only allow him to take enough to survive for Shabbos. But other people can come in and take as well. So the Heta really becomes for taking food out. But if you move it into the Mefarshim and actually into the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the question, what happens if it's not just food, what about other things as well? What else can you save? And so if you look in the Torah, brings actually a machlokas, he brings on the Bala Trumos, that this includes even things that are muksa of a kasa of a love Bala Trumos, kasa of Bala Trumos, the middle of source number two, there's the Torah. That when the Gemara is talking about saving things from the Daleka, afilo malso dvarim amuksim yicholim lahatzil, the b'makom pseida ein lachosh leish the muksa. So when there's a real hefsid meruba, so somehow muksa gets tossed because muksa is only the rabbanon, and it's not really based upon this Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin, because Kuf Yud Zayin is talking, source number one is talking really about a Daleka and food, but he actually refers to the case that comes up, and we'll come to it once we finish maybe Aleph and get to Beis and Gimel, and that's really about a person shehechshir halav aderech. A person is walking and they run out of time, and so the Gemara says he can walk and walk slowly. We're going less than dalar amos per time, and he can actually take home not just his material but his mos and anything else that is muksa. So if this works, so the hechid shor lemi shech shechal abaderech letalto kisufoch, the makom kisufchos are pachos midalar amos, whatever his bundles are. So the same thing as well would apply here to this situation.
I think it's kiso pachos.
Oh, you're right, kiso. Kiso pachos, pachos midal ramas. I was trying on that one. V'cheinim shkoach. V'cheinim roa nasim boim leveso. Yochel lekach koma shebebeso. Latznia shein lachosh leisu mokzib mokam seid. And the same thing says the Bala Trumos, that if you have people coming in that are going to strip your house, looters, we would call them, ganovim, brigands, evildoers, and you can have an opportunity to hide your stuff so you can hide and put away even things that are muksa. What would be the concern that you would do if we don't let you do that? So venerally the huasar, so says the Torah actually argues and seems to say that we don't allow this in these situations. The only way that we allowed this was a person shehichshich alav aderech. And you can go pachas, pachas, dalaramos. That was an issur of carrying, which you do less. That would be an issur, could be an issur d'oraisa. But haval hacha, deleka lemecha, shiavoli de issur godo mizeh. So here we're not really concerned that if you have anosim coming or you have this situation where you can lose other things that you could do it. Shavada yore, vahotzio mipneim, I'll read again. Avahacha deleka lamecha shiavali de iser gadol mizeh shevaday yarei lotzio mipneihem. So then it would be awesome. In other words, the only concern is that if we don't let you do this now in a way that's less prohibited, you'll come to do the prohibited way. But here, what would you do? If people are coming to loot your house, what are you going to take it out in Rishus Rabim? You're not going to take it out in Rishus Rabim. What could you possibly do? And therefore, because of this, we're not concerned that you will do a worse iser. Because we're not concerned that you will do a worse iser, we don't allow you to do a lesser iser. That really becomes the argument of the tour against the Baal Trumos. And therefore, and even if you were to find it, what would be the concern? That you could take it outside perhaps and run away with it, but we don't really have Rishus Rabim. And we're not concerned about anything else. And therefore, Hilkoch Vade Asa Latzir Dvar Mamuksim Ibnehev Sid Mamono. So the Torah actually comes out against the Baal HaTrumos and not allowing this or not extending it beyond the examples of the Gemara, which are the case of the Deleika, which is not Muksa, or Hichshich Alav Aderech to refer to Muksa itself. So that's really where it comes from. And as a result, when you get down to the Shulchan Aruch, you find that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, and this is source number 3, it's almost like a split decision, the Yesh Matirim and Yesh Osrim. Sif Aleph in source number 3, the Shulchan Aruch actually talks about the Deleika. Slow me down if I'm running too fast. So he's talking about the Deleika on Shabbos and how much food you can save. And only the Bnei Bayis can't do it, but people who are not Bnei Bayis could do this. People who live nearby can do this. And then in Sif Bes he says, "V'yesh matirim l'talta mols dvarim amuksim kdei latzilim ibnei dleika o me'anosim abayim legazlam demakam psud pseida ein lachush lisa muksa." However, v'yesh osrim. And even to say to an Eino Yehudi, Yesh Misha Osir. So you've got this back and forth, and as a result, you end up really with this decision that maybe if it's really Hefsid Merubah, we can rely upon the Mekilim. If it's not a Hefsid Merubah, and if it's not a great loss, then it seems to be that you perhaps could not. So that's really where it seems to come down in terms of this concept of moving Muksa. Can you move Muksa to save it from a Deleika? Can you move Muksa to save it from Anosim?
Nope. What about the case of not saving the muktzah item, but moving the muktzah item to prevent the deleika? So it's a propane tank or something, and you need to move it, otherwise it's going to explode or something.
So all these situations are not about explosions.
No, but like Hefsid Merubah, right, is the key.
Right.
So it's either here or about saving the muktzah item, but what about moving the muktzah item to prevent?
So that probably would relate to the Gemara about the lake, about putting the Gemara talks about where there's the lake, or you can set up a roll of barrels.
That's a separate issue. That's not a muktzah issue. That's an issue of mechabeh.
Right.
But this goes back to this year from last week, the issue of if you're allowed to do something, once you have a muktzah situation, you're allowed to do it to prevent the muktzah situation as well.
Right.
In other words, I would be allowed to move the propane thing if it were mukta, and again, assuming there was no sakana issue and so on, I'd be allowed to move the propane thing, you know, in a case where it was on fire.
Yeah. That's also sort of, I guess, like moving Malcolm Gufo, you need it. Because you need a place to get it out of that place. It's sort of like Malcolm Gufo.
I mean, a lot of the fire halachas tend to be less relevant bizman as a, anyway, because right. Of the way that we do our construction with everything very close together, it's always considered a sakana, basically.
Right. And if you look in the actual Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Dalet in source number 4, of course, on Sefer Nezi Yisrael, that today we're really, because we live with the Goyim, if we wouldn't put out fires, we'd be in trouble too. So he says the whole idea, the whole concern that you may come to put out a fire and therefore you shouldn't take and so forth and so on doesn't really apply anymore. And as a result, maybe it's a free-for-all to move Muktzah as well. In other words, the concern about if we let you save everything, you will come to put this out, and therefore you, the Baal HaBos, can't save the material. Only those who are in the next house could, may not even be applicable. So the extension, according to the Sefer Nezi Yisrael, which once again the Mishmur is going to argue against a little bit, but he says Ein l'mechos b'yad ha-makilim actually changes the whole structure because of the way we relate to sakana and living conditions and living together and the people we live with who would probably take it very negatively if we didn't put out the fire itself. Okay.
Well, if you live in a Jewish area, that would then.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay,
you just have the problem that the fire's going to spread. That's
right. Or the fact, what happens when it appears next day in the Globe and Mail or the Toronto Star or whatever it is or whoever our friends are. So, but the bottom line is that you see that there are certain heterim that are built into this in terms of situations of anasim, and while it may not apply in the case of Dleika to you because we're concerned you may put out the fire, in terms of anasim, the situation does appear to be that you do have certain heterim in terms of moving issues of mukza. Now, as I pointed out, this seems to come up really. I don't hear any drilling. This seems to come up in terms of.
I think he may have thought that I meant only the area near here.
That's okay. Okay.
If you're okay with it, fine. Otherwise, I'll
tell him. Okay, go tell him. Okay. But if I can stop it, we'll stop it. If not, we can't. Okay. So the point is that if you have the situation where it's based upon Hechshicha Lavaderech, and you suddenly get caught with Muksa, so the same thing applies in terms of the Anasim, in terms of situations that you want to save your Muksa as well. If you look in source Vav, which is the Mishnah Brura source, source number 4, Sif Kut and Vav in the Mishnah Brura, my mistake, the Mishnah Brura actually quotes and seems to say that they're matirim in terms of anasim. And if you look towards the end of this, and I thought this was a fascinating footnote, where he quotes from the Maril, Visa b'sefer Maril, b'shem Marash, v'hevi b'li orah, b'ad b'shas azam, sh'mis yorim, sh'anasim yavo v'yachtifu es ha-shelo, mutal yisrael ataltam ha-osa v'afilu michutz la'erov. So that's actually a tremendous heter, because the assumption is that you may be moving even into a rishus harabim, I assume in the Minatoro, maybe not. Well, okay, so it's a karmelis at least. Yeah. Whereas in the case of the Dleika, the situation was clearly not meant to take you out beyond what was within the Erev itself. However, he points out and he quotes in the Taz and the Magen Avraham, the Emuter Kim Kishnosam Shloka Derech Chotzah Dana Bein Big Dol B'Saro. So there has to be at least a Kelach Riyad or a Muktzah Menatzad or some other kind of thing or Derech Gufo. I'm not sure how they would sneak these things out, but you see how concerned they were and how real the situation was in terms of these kind of situations coming up. So the bottom line is when you break through all of it, and once again, I'm going to try to do a little more surface level today than I've done in the past. When you break down to all of it, when there's a real heter, when there's a real hefsid maruba, and it looks like your possessions can really be a danger, there seems to be certain heterim that come up in terms of moving even dvarim shel muksa. So it's not only food, it's not only items that are usable on Shabbos, but even things that are muksa that you would not normally have an attempt to be able to use. The whole heter, by the way, is only about something that was not preventable. Something that suddenly happens immediately, and if you don't respond immediately, it'll be lost. So, for example, compare this to and look in source number 5, where source 5 and I think 6 and 7 are really pretty much the same thing. The heter was not if you left something outside and it began to rain. It began to rain, and therefore I have to go bring the muktz in because otherwise the rain is going to ruin it. That was assumed to been that you have enough time to call a nachri or find another way or to cover it over to prevent the muksa from becoming destroyed. The situation is a deleika, or the situation is anasim who show up suddenly and you have no way to get out, where it would be a complete hefsid meruba and you have no other alternative.
Where does it say hefsid meruba?
It says hefsid meruba in a number of places, for example,
in the end of Sifkat and Ches, number four.
Okay, 4 Ches in the Mishnah Brura. So he concludes and he says, "The Yisur, even the Rambam says, right? So it's Dafka Mokum Sheish Hefsid Gadol. Comes up in a number of places, right?
Well, Gadol Harbet. Right. Okay, it's good enough.
How do you quantify that?
I don't know how to quantify Hefsid Ruba. Real loss. I guess it may be a kind of variable.
Right. If you go online, you can hear shiurim from both of us on the topic of Hefsid Meruba from different times and places. And so, they may even agree. Yeah. We'll see.
Right, but Hefsid Meruba means a sizable, significant kind of loss. Hefsid Meruba is not just, by the way, related to here. There's a lot of other places where Hefsid Meruba comes up, or Hefsid Gadol. So I'm not sure what maybe one person's Hefsid Gadol, maybe another person's simply write-off.
It is subjective.
It's a write-off. One man's write-off
is another man's
correct. It is subjective, and some of the cases that you come across seem like very, very light to be considered hefsid meruba, but...
It's significant, right? In other words, it's not easily replaceable, would be my simple Baal Batish definition. It's a small loss that's not easily replaceable, but once again, there are probably shurim out there that can probably better define it. But even the case of Yardu Gushamim, which was something that you have more time to be able to react to, even though that's a hefsid merubah, there does not appear to be the heter. The heter is only hefsid merubah, plus it actually happens immediately. In the case of the deleika, the other stricture is, if you yourself are the owner of the property, you can't go into it. Because the concern was you could put out the fire. If we let you go and say you can take everything you need, you'll end up putting out the fire to save everything else. So it's only intended for those who are not in your immediate household. It's counterintuitive, and in fact, the Mishnah Berurah points out, and I didn't do that, I think it's Aleph or Bet in source number 4, that when it comes to a mace, we actually allow you to move the mace, because if we don't allow you to move the mace, you may end up moving it in ways that are more difficult. So the bahul, the anxiety, the tension that you have for a mace allows you to move a mace on Shabbos, which may be in danger of a teleka. But the same bahul does not allow you to go in to save all your possessions that may be destroyed. Only other people can come. And the Mishnah points out that, you know, somehow this is a tremendous value statement, that people are more concerned about saving a body than saving possessions. Right? Because once the body is charred, it's not replaceable. Right? And may not be recovered at all. Whereas possessions are possessions. Right? It's always, you can hopefully make it up, or if not, find other ways to exist. But a body.
They obviously don't think that much about Klal Yisrael or Raven. That the other people would also be very concerned about the neighbors.
Correct, but this is an age when there is no fire brigade, so the other people would come in and not be concerned to put the fire out. They get it or they don't get it. They can't get the food, they can't get the muktzah, they can't move it for you. They're not going to risk life and limb to put the fire out. Okay. The question really is, how far do you exist? How far is you, what it defines you? You, your wife, your spouse, your children, people of your household probably have the same halacha as you. One of the questions that comes up is, what is considered your house and what is considered not your house? So if you look in source number 8, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about, well, if you had courtyards, and probably the comparability is about condominiums or townhouses. If the fire is in one townhouse and you're the next townhouse over, is that the same house? Or is that considered a different house? If you're in the same condominium unit, is the next condominium that's on fire, is it yours? Or is it, are you part of that or not part of that? Because obviously you're all connected. And as Jerry pointed out, if obviously you're not concerned that people are going to put it out, but yeah, if it's your house next door, if you're the next apartment, you are concerned. If you're the next townhouse, next row house, you are concerned. So actually, so the Aruch HaShulchan says in source 8...
Can you give instructions to the person that's going? I need to get this. Something may have sentimental value.
Maybe.
You mean.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm not sure. Can you say, bring out my jewelry box? Possibly. Yeah. Maybe indirectly. Okay.
What about insurance? What if it's insured?
What if it's insured? Then it's not a hefsid merubah. It's a hefsid merubah. It's not just about monetary value. It also has to do with sentimental value to some extent. Right? Of course, you know, a real Jew who's a mommy in HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never own insurance, because that shows a deteriorative detraction with belief in God.
Right? The commercial was okay with it.
I know there's a discussion about that. So at any rate, this is really all about these unpredictable circumstances, that if you don't save it now, then you're not going to be able to save it immediately. So therefore, if you can't go in for the Dleika, others can, and for the Anasim, you actually can save it. By the way, the concern for Anasim may be that if we don't let you save it as much as you can, you either may take it out right into a Shisarabim, where you're going to go with it. It's not about Dleika. The other part is you may bury it. So you actually may do chofer, that would be chofer min haTorah. So if we give you ways to do it midrabanan, it may actually save you from transgressing an Isser Doraisa. Okay. The next thing is what's something called Hichshicha Lav HaDerech. I'm going to take this.
I'll just note it because you mentioned it. When you say Hefsim Aruba being about emotional, you know, loss as well. So okay. I don't think it's Hefsim Aruba anymore. I think that's Tsar. And they actually are different categories.
Okay.
And is that okay? Can you do
Tsar Gadol?
You have to talk about Tsar, but it's not the, it's not part of the Cheshbon of
Hefsim. But would you be allowed to for the Tsar Gadol?
Maybe for Muxa. Rabbanon and Tsar.
Right, would you for Tsar Gadol? For Tsar Gadol. Right. Well, what is Tsar and what is Tsar Gadol?
Right.
Yeah. It's Mixas Choli. it might be fall under the category of choli that comes up. That
right. The problem with tzar as a heter is simply that we're talking about a situation in which we say that you have to watch all your stuff go up in flames.
Right.
You know, and
that's correct.
We don't jump in and say, well, that's tzar, and after all, your mechabe is machshitzich legufa, and therefore the rabbanon.
You could turn to salt too.
Well, I mean, the fascinating part is we're concerned about the leka, but we're not concerned about gesh gshamim. Gshamim can be very disastrous, right? Flash floods or something else. That does
They do talk about that. They talk about the case where the roof develops a leak and what you're allowed to do.
Right. But in the case here of the anosim, the exclusion seems to be specifically about davar. If you look in this 5 and 6 and the Magen Avraham, which is really the same thing as Chayyadam. Im yardu gshamim al haschora hamukta asil kuli amla tatal yayde Yisrael. And the same thing, it's only a hefzit chain of ba'ol of kiridas gshamim sheyachol across le'nachri le'tatal amal chasosim bi'atzmo. Of a hezek sheba pitaom al adam, that's where the heter is. Gleika misyarim iganam v'gazlanim mutl tatal fil ma'os ayde kiko adavar mamutar. So right. There is a real difference between this, what you could have prepared for, and we still have a moment to call someone else to do it, as opposed to this Leika, which right. is about to come in, or these Anasim that are looting through the town.
But I don't know what he was saying, a flash flood. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
His point is that right. at the moment when I detect it, I have to act if I'm dealing with Leika Anasim, right. whereas his assumption is that the rain is going to be drop, 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 which, as Rabbi Ziering notes, isn't always the case.
Yeah. Okay, so, and this is pretty much what we have here, and...
I just want to tell you the irony here.
Yeah.
Is that while this is going on, you're supposed to do all this calculation?
Yeah.
So
the
real irony...
It's like Meso Imuto Bifanov or something, and you're making all, you know, right. I don't know.
The real irony is that with the Dleika, you're excluded. The real irony with the delay is you, the owner of the material, are excluded. It applies to other people. That really requires a leap of faith. Right? I agree. Okay, yeah. But at least the other people can leap for you. Okay, number two. Let's move to topic number two, which is the bottom of page two. Hichshuch al avaderech. So you're carrying something, you've got your donkey with you, or you don't have your donkey with you, and you have a nochri with you, you don't have a nochri with you, you have a chereshot of a cotton with you, you don't have a chereshot of a cotton, and guess what, it suddenly gets dark. So your chazal allowed you to keep going, or in this case, the Gemara seems to talk about in Shabbos Kufnan Gimel, Mishichshich b'derech nosen kisel nochri, v'meini no nochri manich l'chamor, So you keep going with the donkey, and you don't give directions to the donkey. You don't stop the donkey, by the way, until you finally get to the chatzer that you want to get to, and you can the things that are permissible for Shabbos that are not muksa you can take off. The things that are not, you simply just let them fall off the donkey. Why? So the Gemara says, why do we let you do this? So Kimlu, next line, Kimle, Rabbanandi, another Mamid Atzmol Al Mamono. So Ilo Sharisle Asila Suyadal Lanas Bishus Rabim. If we didn't let him do this, he would end up carrying Vin Dalanas and Bishus Rabim. And then the Gemara qualifies that and said, you can't pick anything up as you're moving along. He's got this diamond that you see in the road. You can't pick this up. But if you found the diamond before this happened, you can keep it as well. And then the Gemara discusses, what happens if you don't have a nochri with you? What happens if you don't have a chamar with you? What actually do you do? So the Gemara says, you yourself would carry, we allow you to carry less than dalar amos. That's the very end of the Gemara here. By the way, I see I wrote Elohim, not Elohim. Thank you. I would interpret that maybe in a general way, but probably not. Okay. So the Gemara says that what happened? First, there's a cryptic answer. There's another way to do it if you didn't have a chamor or a cheresh or a shota and a cotton. By the way, the Gemara goes through a whole process, which is first cheresh, a shota, a cotton. You don't have a nachri. What do you do? So there's another way, but we don't want to tell you what it is. What is it? So the Gemara says, well, now that you asked, we really can't tell you, but it's Kavod Elokim versus Kavod Malachim. Not sure what Kavod Malachim means here. But what's Kavod Elokim? So Dilma, so my Kavod Elokim, Dilma Asi Lasuya Dalaranas Bishus Rabim. If we didn't put a lid on this and allow you an easier way to do this so that you would not be carrying Arba Amos, you would carry Arba Amos Bishus Rabim. So instead, what do? We say that you can walk less than pachos mi dalar amos, pachos dalar amos, stopping every less than 4 amos along the way. So this is, once again, there's a situation that is not only talking about things that you can't, it's not only about carrying bishus arabim, as the Gemara says, but the Rishonim Achronim point out this is even if we're talking about Dvarim Shel Muksa, things that are not permissible. The opening part of the Mishnah talked about the fact that there were things that Dvarim She'enam Mitalim B'Shabbos, which may be like Klishim Lach L'Yisr possibly, but it's very clear that we're even dealing here with things like Mos, which is what comes up in Source 11, the quote from Shulchan Aruch, that and even the Chamor, you've got to be careful because you're Mitzuvah Shvisoso. So, and if you don't have anything with you, then you carry it dafka pachos mi'arba amos. That's if you're on source number 11. This is now the Sif Zion in the Shulchan Aruch. Any moshum echad mikolelu. You don't have a nachri. You don't have a chamor. You don't have a cherishot v'katan. You taltelenu pachos mi'arba amos. V'dafka kiso o mitzia shebaliado or mitzia you found before of a lo baliado lo, and then you are able to come and bring it home. Now, and all of this is assuming that you thought that you could reach and get home before Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch Sivches says, if you leave right away before Shkin, you say, what'll be, will be. We don't allow you to do this, almost like a knas. So you have to be really between us halev that you assume. I mean, this does come up. For example, planes get delayed, there's traffic on the road, et cetera, you know. We've all seen these types of scenarios one way or the other. But if you run out the minute before Shabbos and you say, God will provide, God will look after, so God does not look after, then we're not matter this at all. What happens if you don't have a chamor and you're carrying this? So look at Sif Yud Aleph. It's actually fascinating. So then you don't have a situation where you actually can wait, because I think we're concerned that if you wait, it's just maybe going to get darker. So Ratz Tachteo Ad Beso, you run quickly to your house. V'dafka Ratz, Avalelech Liat Lo, not just keep walking slowly, Kevin Letzer Keira, Aslam Evet Akir Vanocha. If you keep walking regularly like you walk, you'll end up stopping and starting, which will force you to have a kiran anocha and carry on Shabbos. The zimnin koy v'lavadayte, because you'll forget and it won't be in your mind. Avo rats isle akeira. If we allow you to run and run super speed, v'chimat lebesi keichet lo koy purte, keichet lo koy purte, v'ishtachet komayam l'shus rabim l'shus ayachid, zorek lo kelachiyad, danish lo kederach zvirka komik sefer l'achrov. When you finally reach l'shus ayachid, then you throw it off behind you. So in other words, if it's not possible, and this is how I read it, I think I read it correctly, that if it's not possible for you to kind of stop and start and stop and start, because the concern is that you may end up being in a situation where you will be too far out, and do it in a way that you will remember that it is Shabbos at least, and when you even do the final hanocha, do it in a way that is going to be l'achar yad, that it won't be nisa d'oraisa. So, so in other words, we're allowing you, and if you look on the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkot and Chavtes and Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis, so the Mishnah Berurah says that this is all about you don't have another way to do it. In other words, you're so far away that if you walk slowly, you'll end up being you can't walk less than Dalaramos, and you have this pack with you, so then do the exact opposite, is run quickly. And through that, you'll have the Hekeira that you remember at Shabbos, that's Sifkot and Lamed Aleph, and when you finally get to throw it off, you'll do it like Mikilach Yad. So you have this concept that we allow you to carry this, and we allow you to continue to carry the Dvarim Shel Muksa in a way that is a way to at least remember Shabbos, minimizing perhaps the fact that there's no Hanocha until you reach the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so we don't have Akira and Hanocha min HaTorah, to allow this to be done in the best possible way, if not a perfect way itself. So that's that. Now you say, well, how will that come up? It can come up if you run late for Shabbos. The other thing that can come up And back in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Aleph, Sif Yud Beis, excuse me, which is the end of source 11 almost, right? When before it, the Ramah says, "Umisha shachak kiso alav b'Shabbos." If you forgot your wallet on you on Shabbos, this can happen. This does happen. I don't know. I had a situation the other week where I actually forgot I had my cell phone in my pocket until the very last minute. I had actually gone to Davin and someone's block minion when I realized it was, and I actually had to bring it back. So, but you know, 10 minutes later, it probably wouldn't have been the summertime, but 10 minutes later, if that had been wintertime, I would have been home with the limit. So, if you have your wallet, now you kind of, I guess this was almost like a money belt or some kind of girdle, and you want to do it. And lipo shom latsneo, you let it drop, or you do it kilachayad. And the same thing if you're in a shuk where you can't leave it there. So you bring it home and you do it in a way that is not going to be seen as doing it directly. So in this kind of situation where you are simply caught by Shabbos, you are able to do it and allow you to do the muktzah itself and carry the muktzah, even though it's tiltal. It's best to try to minimize this, but you can't leave it there because of your concern, misyore, and so forth. And that's a way to kind of at least allow you to carry this material. Okay, so that's the second way is this kind of thing where Shabbos actually catches you. Third topic we're going to move to is Amir al-Nachri. Okay, this is actually very complicated. It's not that clear to me when you rely upon Amir al-Nachri, when you don't rely upon Amir al-Nachri. Sometimes it's almost contradictory between case to case. But if there is, once again, some kind of real purpose for it, this can be a tzorech gadol or choli or mitzvah, or some other mitzvah. So Amir al-Nachri becomes one of the ways that we allow you to carry on, to have muktzah be carried on Shabbos. So the example is source 13, it comes up in the tour. Kosav Rambam Shamir la'akam uteres b'shuas d'rabbanan k'dav b'davar sheish b'tzorach mitzvah. Not quite sure what tkiyah shel mitzvah you have on Shabbos exactly. We'll assume it's the beis din. The beis din. In the beis din.
Well, it's tkiyah shel mitzvah regardless. Anytime it's Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is tkiyah shel mitzvah.
Right. So what would the Rambam be talking about? I'm having the guy climb a tree on Shabbos to bring down the shofar.
Right.
Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos.
When we blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos in the Beis Din, like the Beis Din of some of the Rishonim had it up until then. Is that what he means? When else would you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos?
No, I mean the original, before all the Takanos.
Okay. Yeah. So, Oshiesh Bok Tzatzor Choli, there's a Ksat Choli, because obviously if it's real Choli, then, you know, it's going to be Sakonas Nafashos. Kagon Shomim Lo Lovi Maim Der Chotzer
Shlo Ir. I'm sorry, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's not Shabbos, it's Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, Shin Zion is Hochel Shabbos.
True.
Okay, so Afal Pikein. Okay, so whatever it is, choose your mitzvah, choose your Shabbos mitzvah that you need the guy to go get it down for you. Oshes Ksat Sora Choli Kagon Shomer Lo Lovi Maim Der Chotzer Shlo Irvu Lirchotz Bo Satinok Omitzdayer. So that's a case of Ksat Choli, a Tzora Choli, whether you need to wash the child or a person's mitzdayer. So that's what the Rambam says. Atosus Kosu Shosu Lo Malovi Shum Davar Afil Der Karmelis Afil Sefer Lil Malbo Shesh Bo Mitzvah Shlo Itiram which is Gufa Docha Shabbos. The only time that we allow the guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, even if it's a drabanan, is only for Tzorach Bris Mila, which the Gemara seems to talk about. Okay, so, you, yes?
Where was the shofar up in the tree?
It's a good place.
Come on.
No, really, like.
The ram climbed the tree and got caught and left the shofar behind.
It was
a really strange example.
No,
I agree.
That the whole city should hear.
It was stored there to keep it away from the gun oven.
Okay, well, the Rambam is trying to. I'm not sure what the Rambam is based on. Maybe there's a Gemara somewhere, some kind of Malka that he's looking for. But the assumption is that this is. You're looking for a case where you need only a Drabanan, it's only a Shvus, and the guy can do it, and it's a Tzorach Mitzvah. Okay, come up with your mitzvah. Choose your mitzvah. So, by the way, this is not talking directly about muktzah, right? This is not about the shofar that's muktzah. It's talking about doing a shvus drabanan. So, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to quote this as well, that you can tell a non-Jew to do something that is a shvus, if it's mitzvah choli, or a great tzorech, tzorech gadol, tzorech harbe, or mipnei mitzvah, And he brings the same example about climbing, sending the guy up the tree to get the tkiya for tkiya shel mitzvah. Right? Now, the Magen Avraham points out that when you're dealing with shvusim, it's very hard to kind of make them all equal. So it's hard to say that if, and this fact, this is some of the discussion in the tour when he quotes the Tosas. Tosas says the only time that a guy can do it is really for bris milah. Right, because the Gemara talks about that, but to kind of brush all the shvusim together with the same brush, it's hard to really know exactly what it is. And this long Magen Avraham in source number 15, which I'm not going to go through because I actually found it very confusing, does comes up to really no conclusion how you draw them all together. But he does come at the end to say, "Lachein nerali the b'makom hefsid gadol." This is the best way that I can find some kind of rule here. And a hefsid gadol. Once again, what is a hefsid gadol? Yesh la'at shvus aydei akum afilo kedarko. If it's a hefsid gadol, the akum can do a shvus like you normally do it. Ushvus aydei Yisrael shelo kedarko. And if it's a real hefsid gadol, so shalokadarko, you can even done by Yisrael, which will fall on the name of shalokadarko, we'll come to if we have time to. Avablav hachi ein laha kel klal. So there is some kind of source. It's not clear to me when you apply this and when you don't apply akum. And I can tell you it's actually so confusing, even to the achronim, I suspect, that if you look in source 17 and 18, just going to move to there for a moment, they're talking about the second half of the halacha in Reish Ayin Vav Gimel. This is about going with a guy, and the guy has a flashlight. Muta loma leinu Yehudi, the Rama says, Muta loma leinu Yehudi lechimo litol ner dola kvar, holvein osa rak tiltu on ner ba'alma. You need to get someplace, you want the guy to hold the lamp for you. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Prima Gadam to say, Vein lahater elev ne Torah, dilma osa lemisuch. This is only a heter for people who know what they're doing, because if you let people, if you let anyone say, call a guy, it becomes carte blanche. And it really is not carte blanche. So what comes out to me at least is that if there is a hefsid gadol and it is a shvus, there are grounds to find ways to allow a person to carry muktzah on Shabbos or have the guy carry muktzah on Shabbos or do it in a way that's indirectly in a case where there is both shvus and hefsid gadol. And even shvus l'shvus, even if you say, well, I'll tell the guy to tell another guy, that's it's still telling one guy. That doesn't make it any better.
Ladavka. Well, there's a whole machlokus about Amira da Amira, whether it's called Amira la'akum at all.
Okay, but in Chavdala in the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, at least he seems to take the position on source 16 Chavdala. The Ma'ida Kamel Amira la'in Yehudi Shvusu Afilo Mamar la'in Yehudi Shiyom la'in Yehudi Acher.
Look in the brackets.
Right,
he's quoting the machlokus there.
Okay, mitzad alahakav hazeh.
It's the machlokus of Vodas HaGrishuni and the Chavos Yoyer about whether, if I tell a non-Jew to do something, right, the non-Jew then goes to tell another non-Jew to do it.
So,
on his own initiative. Well, even if it's not. The point is, the person who does the malacha is not responding to me. He's doing it because a non-Jew told him to do it. So it has to do with why Amir Lanachri is usher in the first place. And it plays out as this machlokus that he
does. Okay. Well, thank you. So therefore, you see, there is at least a machlokus about whether it reduces it or doesn't reduce it. But I have to admit, I walked away and I didn't have a clear decision. When can we choose a nachri? When can we choose a nachri? My impression is that this really goes back and forth among the achronim, what cases would be applicable or not. But at least bigadol, right, there's another form of a whole subset of types of exemptions for carrying muktzah if you're not going to carry it directly, but you're going to do it, but you're going to have, you call a nachri to do it, it's amira l'nachri, not indirect amira, but the nachri is going to do it in a way that maybe shelo kedarko.
But this hefsid gadol is besides for mitzvah.
Yeah.
This is another case, right?
This is...
The Magen Avraham is not arguing the case of mitzvah.
Correct. Okay. In other words, he's saying that besides mitzvah, it's got to be mitzvah or hefsid gadol. It's got to have a real need, right? And he's not, I think he's arguing either on tzorach, on tzorach, on tzorach holy. It wouldn't be done on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Would not be done on Shabbos.
So then this wouldn't apply.
Right, it's only mila bismana for a normal, natural vaginal delivery. Correct. Okay. So that's the first three. Number four, this is the bottom page form where there's a Hezek of the Rabbim. So obviously if someone's going to get hurt or someone is being hurt, then there's a heter for a whole lot of things. Wherever there's a real threat of injury, that's permissible. However, what happens if you have something that is potentially dangerous, and it's a something of muktzah, such as stones, or such as sharp pieces of glass, or such as something that you break a mirror, or break a, let's say, break a glass on Shabbos. This, and these things happen. People drop dishes on the floor and they smash. So that's no longer a kli. Doesn't have a shame kli anymore. Or glass, which may never had a shame kli, or just sharp pieces. You find that there are nails lying around, or something else. So the heter becomes, if there's a, first of all, there's no other way to round it. And second of all, if there's a likelihood of injury. And the question may be, does it really require hezekah the rabim? Or does any kind of hezekah, even hezekah the achid? One person. That's actually a discussion that comes up. So if it's for sure, it would be, but there's really potential there. So the case in the Gemara is about a gacheles shel mateches and a gacheles shel eitz. So this gacheles shel mateches was this burning hot, piece of metal that came off of the anvil or something. And the Gemara actually says in the Gemara Membeis Med Aleph, this is fascinating because you would think not so, that the Gemara talks about Mechabim Gachela Shel Matechas B'Shus HaRabim B'Shvil Shelo Yazuka Rab Rabim Avalo Gachela Shel Eitz. You can put out Gachela Shel Matechas, not Gachela Shel Eitz. What would be the difference between the two of them?
One is going to go out on its own. One
is visibly hot, one is not visibly hot. I thought it might be also the fact that Gachela Shel Eitz will leave you with charcoal. I'm not sure if I was completely off bounds on that.
That's my question, whether the difference is nikar or not nikar. Okay.
Good. Okay. So, thank you. So, and that's what the Gemara kind of says as it goes along. Though what the machlok is really based on is based upon malacha she'ez, you're following Rabbi Shimon malacha she'ez tzrich legufa, or not. But at any rate, you see that you can actually be mechabe this. Now, why are you allowed to be mechabe this? Isn't this going to be malacha min haTorah, isur min haTorah? So, if you say it's malacha she'ez tzrich legufa, so it's not malacha min haTorah. So therefore, it's only drabana. Drabana, in the case of a possible hezek, we seem to shvus that we're allowing for real tzorach. Okay, and if you look in Rashi in source number 20, explaining what the Gemara says, gachel shematechas shemashlichim lechutz psolet shel barzel. These are the edges of what was cut off on the barzel. Dloshech kibui b'hachim midoraisa. It's only asa midrabanan. And wherever you have a case of Nezika and Hezeka the Rabim, the Nachrami goes there for a Shvus, for a Drabon in itself. And this is really runs through the entire piece of the Gemara, until finally, the Gemara comes to the conclusion in the end of source 19, Amar Ravina Hilkach, Kotz Pershus Rabim. This we've left the Gacheles now, and now we're now coming to something else that does not need to be put out. A Kotz Pershus Rabim, Molichim Pachos Midal Ramos, Ober Karmelis Afilatuva. That in a Rishus HaRabim, the implication is Rishus HaRabim in HaTorah, you can move it less than 4 amos to get it out of the way. In a Carmelis, you can even move it all at once just to get move it out of the area itself. What about, in the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Machlokas between whether it relates to eights. I think the Rambam, because Rambam Paskins, Melacha Shein Tzrich Leguf is Chayav. Rambam has a sheet, is that correct? I believe so. That's why the Rambam says eights is going to be Asur. But the bottom is that the bottom line is according to the poskim moving it down to the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, that if you had a choice between blowing it out and moving to the side, it obviously would be better to move it to the side. And when it comes to issues of Hezekah the Rabim, it's going to be Chachamim will release or exempt cases of Shvus, including, which will be a case of moving something of Muktzah, or moving a case of Muktzah like these things could be. Question is, how far does it really go? So what if you have, and look in the Magen Avraham 24. Kazvar Rivash, Dafka Kot She'en Anira. It's a coat that you can't see in the ground. V'chein Gachela Shemateches Ein Chomo Nikar. That, hot metal and cold metal look the same. Not really true all the time, but there is hot metal that does not glow. That's still very hot. Sha'af basa de'asa sumka yesh b'koch l'sof. Even when the red hot goes out, it's still very hot. Avah gechel chaleitz kol zman shi'eh b'koch l'sof ti'adum ove kirba. This is what Adam mentioned before. The reason for the koch of the gechel chaleitz, maybe the fact that you can identify it. So if you can identify it and get around it, there's no reason. But if it's not identifiable, then it becomes an issue of hezekah the rabim. And he says, if it's a big stone that you can see that you can get around, you can't move it. because it's not really a problem. What about shipuchel eitz, which you can you can be metaltal that. So that's he discusses that in Yesh Lahatir Bevan Shari Latatlo Shle Azuka, but you can move a shibishun mi mazikit. And correct, okay. And Yesh Lahatir, I'm a little confused here. So in the end of it, Tzarchi and Yesh Lahatir Bevan Kinerik Shlo Hitirel Abdavar Shlo Yemuch Shomer of Shabbos. So he does the discussion whether it needs to be there before Erev Shabbos or not. Okay, so all of this is cases where there is possibility of Hezekah the Rabbim that you can move it. What about if it's not a Hezekah the Rabbim? It's only Hezekah the Yachid. Can it really be moved or not? So there's a quote here, and it's actually found in the Mishnah Brura in source number 25, in Sifkat Nayin Zayin, where he points out that there are cases where it's not Hezekah the Rabbim that you're allowed to actually remove the Hezek itself. So he writes as follows, and he quotes Hadi Sadlaya Basifkas Basifa Baga, Imye Shivre Zchuchit Babait Mutalasalkala Fanoto, Afshistam Bait E Motsubo Rabbin. It's not a Hezekah the Rabbin in that situation, so how can you do it? So he says, there is a difference. If it's only Isser Mukta, then you actually can move it even if it's only Hezekah the Yachid. If the issue is Isser Mukta and Isser Tiltal, in a Karmelis or a Shusarabim, moving it pachos mi dalad, that's more complex, and that would require Hezekah the Rabbim. So it seems that if you have no other alternative to move this davar of Hezekah, even for a Yachid, you can move it, to provided that you don't kind of trip up upon it. Okay? And the same thing writes the Aruch HaShulchan in Source 26, that obviously the best way that if you are going to be mazik in it, such as Shivrei Klei Zchuchis, O Nishbru Al HaShulchan, V'yuchlo Lahazik Lahayadayim, Denotlam, D'mamokam Nezik Rabim Logozu Be Rabbanan. However, Tov Yoter, L'kapsan Laideh Matata, with a broom or something else that you would, Knafayim Shel Ofot, that you'd be able to sweep it away. So once again, the bottom line is, if it is a Hezekah the Rabbim, it's permissible. If it's a Hezekah the Yachid, and it's only an issue of Mukta, it appears to be permissible as well. We don't allow you to break an Issur Torah for this, unless it's a definitive issue of Sakaras Nefashos. But a potential here, where people may be able to get around it, would be a reason for it. So that, and then the same thing is going to come up till Tula Shabbos kind of summarizes it, about Hezekah the Rabbim, about Hezekah the Yachid. And I'm not going to get a chance to go through number 27. So that's where the next piece is really about Hezekah the Rabbim. Okay? Number hey about Mokum Choli. Okay, how sick do you have to be? So if you're really sick, then everything really is going to be permissible. What about Mixas Choli? So Mixas Choli is what's one person's Mixas Choli is another person's real Choli. And the situation would be that if it's you do it with a Shinoi, For a chol hashem bo sakana, or for a person that's got mixas choli, that would be permissible to move even something of muksa. So if you look in source number 28, what is a case of mixas choli? Perhaps a cotton. This is about feeding a. This is about telling a non-Jew to feed something that's non-kosher. So you see that actually tzarchi cotton are considered chol hashem bo sakana, and as a result, you can carry muktzah for a situation where there is mixas choli. And if you look in 31, where Tzitzula Shabbos summarizes it. Mutla talta muktzah fil l'chol hashem b'sakana, the mutla talta muktzah l'tzarkatan, the tzarkikatan l'chol hashem b'sakana dami. And it's only, according to the Prima Gemara, it's only a day shinu k'tas. Same thing in Shin Tes, the Mutaladam Lito Benovi Evan Biyadu, the Havale Tiltalo Evan Ide Davar Acher, and that's really Kosova Machabasham, the Mutadavka Mokam Sheshla Ben Gaguim Shal Aviv. So you can do this because the kid, if you don't take care of the kid and don't respond to him, he's going to be like a Cholashol Shein Bo Sakana. So once again, in a case of even a minimal type of Choli, it looks like that we would allow you to be carrying Dvarim Shal Mukta themselves. Okay, that's at least what comes out of that. Okay, how much time do we got? 10 minutes. Okay, Kavod HaBrios. So Kavod HaBrios is something that seems to trump Drabbanans. I gave you two examples of Kavod HaBrios, and then there's a whole discussion about Kavod HaBrios for Kavod HaMesim. So two examples about covered brios. One is in 32, is about toilet paper, right? And the Gemara talks about the fact that they used to use these avonim, and they were permissible because latatla avonim lekaneach. And if you look in the Mishnah Berurah 34, he brings this down. What if you didn't have, it's actually fascinating about using, because this is the Mishnah Berurah, what happens if you didn't have enough stones, you could actually use other stones. L'chein, im yichdun afilo kinech behem e'ola mutal lachnisan k'mo shiyirtze. V'hu adin niyar chalak, blank paper, shemak bir alav, which is going to be mukza machmas chesron kis, the Yesh Bozeh Mishum Mokza, Mokza Machmas Kesun Kis, Gam Ki Mahani Yichud Merv Shabbos, by setting it aside in Merv Shabbos, the idea is that Husami Olav Shem Mokza, Umutu Lahachnis Lebeis Akisei Kmosh Yerza. If you have Mokza Machmas Kesun Kis, and you seem to identify it and override the Mokza Shem Machmas Kesun Kis, you actually would be permissible to use it, and this would be in place of toilet paper itself. What you do need, though, to say is you have to be miyachid in Erev Shabbos. It's a much larger discussion whether we consider niyar today to be paper today to be moksa machmas cheson kis, right? I'm not sure that it falls under the same kind of definition today, though. Probably, if you had blank paper, you probably would still consider a cheson kis. You tend to use scrap paper. But one example, so it seems to be from the Mishnah Berurah, it's not that clear. It seems to be that you have to be miyachedis, which really may be not necessarily allowing you to use it as much as overriding what the purpose of this niyar is for this Shabbos itself. And then the other example that comes up is if you have, these were sandals that broke on Shabbos. There's a whole discussion about how the rituals were set up on the sandalim, and the inside ritua was different than the outside ritua, and if it broke, how you could get home from a Carmelis. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you're there, v'im rabim sham u'gnaihu lelech b'lo minol, and because once the sandal breaks, it's no longer a kli, and you really can't carry it, it becomes muktzah, so then shari mishum kavod abrios. So you could wear this broken sandal, which really is no longer considered clean, really is considered muktzah because of kavod abrios. Okay, so that's a general topic that comes up. A big, very large subset about this is moving a mace, which doesn't really come up that frequently today. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't really come up, the situations that Chazal talk about today, because people tend not to die at home, though it is possible the person does die at home. And as we know, when a body dies, it begins to deteriorate. The Gemara talks about two examples. The Gemara has two cases about a mace itself. One case is, this is the source 37, mesa muto b'chama. Okay, source 37, you have a mace that's lying in the sun. So Rav Shmuel says, Hov cho mimito lamito, you do it kilach yad. And Rav says, they say in the name of Rav, maniach lav kikar tinok metaltlo. You put on the mace a kikar and a tinok, and or a tinok, I should say, which is a davar shel heter. And then the mace becomes, the real mace becomes like this basis for a davar heter. Okay, right. So, and it's a very complicated discussion. Does this mean you can carry the mace into a rishus rabbi minatora, non rishus rabbi minatora? Is it preferable with it or with not? That's one situation. And the second situation, which follows in the Gemara in about a line or so, that the tanoi ematzionos mace mipnei atleika. You can't save the mace because of a dleika. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, Shamati shematzionos mace mipnei atleika. So it's a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish and the Tanakama. And we seem to follow the opinion that you could, because the issue is really about bahul. That's why I told you before, the case of where you'd be concerned, if we don't let you do it through a kikar or through a tinok, you might end up moving the mace itself. So all of this really is, and maybe we'll just kind of summarize it very quickly so we can get to the other parts here in this topic, is that saving a mace is really an issue of kavod hames, kavod hamesim. The Rambam feels it is as well an issue of kavod achayim. So The Rambam feels if it's not covered a chayim, then there's lesser reason to be able to move the mace, but most of the other Rishonim seem to say it's really an issue of covered a mace. So if there's a covered a mace, we try to find a way to allow you to move the mace itself in ways that are unusual. Either by moving it mimita lamita, which is going to be in a kalach or yad or a minatzad kind of way, or else by putting the kikar or tinok on top of this to create a fictional kind of movement of the kikar and tinok into and out of where it is. It has to be litzarach hamace. So it can't be really only for tzorach hachayim the way we paskin. It really has to be for tzorach hameis. And if you don't have a kikar or tinok, there's a whole discussion whether this is even going to apply or not. So once again, this is a whole real subset of what is the kavod the kavod that we give. And it's not only if the mace is already deteriorating, even if it's going to be a concern that the mace will be breaking down. So maybe I'll just skip over all the Mishnah Berurah here, move down to 40 and 41 to summarize it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Meis amuta b'chamo li'es ato ena meskalkel. It's not breaking down now. Ach meshech hashos yuchal eskalkel. Lo yitiru lo chachamim kol akulo so elu. Right? Rak hikilu lo letalto mechamo letzel aydei kikar otino ubaosa chotzer. If it's a potential for the mace to kind of begin to deteriorate, then you can only use the heter of kikar and tinok. You can't take it into Rishus Rabim. You can't take it without the kikar and the tinok. So, and by the way, kikar and tinok may not be specifically kikar and tinok, maybe any kind of davar mutar. V'lo teyar temizel lo etir v'lachin amein lo kikar and tinok lo etalt lo klal afil lahav chomimita lamita the tiltum anatzah the serach davar asa shmei tiltu. Okay. So they only allowed to do it with kikar or tinok for the mace itself, and so forth. And the Tiltula Shabbos summarizes it in Aleph Beis and Gimel. These were taken from the footnotes here. That a mace is muktza because muktza machmas gufo. We allow it. There are ways to kind of allow us to be metaltal it in source number two, in piece number 2, 41 Beis. Bet meitam utal b'chama metaltalo seal ide kikar or tinok v'dafka bo to rishus. Cause of a Mishnah Berurah, the Myrish Adayin lo Esriach, la Shechosh Yechpen Yisriach, v'lachain hitir ha-machaber dafka bo'os ha-reshus, av ha-reshus ha-cher le-kamalus ha-asur, elam kain hisriach v'in mokum l'chaim le-shev, d'otzar m'reshus l'reshus o le-kamalus chamura, v'lo hitiro elam ishim kovar ha-chaim. Now he's saying we have to have the Rambam as well. Mashayin kain tilto muktza aydei kikar tinok, hitiro af l'chavar ha-meis itself. Okay, l'dasam Rama amuta l'tatla de kikar afilo rishus acheres imkarav lasriach nimtza shulchuli amal gabi iser mukta itir l'tatla meis ay de kikar atinok af shulo asriach kol shechosh yeshem yasriach v'chem shulchan acharav and v'chem baruch hashulchan meis amuta b'cham le'esato imeskal kikot yaruch hashulchan and so forth. So therefore, if it's going to be masriach already, then you can move it. There's more term. If you're simply waiting to allow to do it, then it's going to be it's not as permissible except for minimal things. Okay, well, how much time do we have? 3 minutes. Okay, minute and a half. I'm going to maybe what do I have left to do? I got so much to do, it's a little time to do it, right?
You can always record the rest.
I will record the rest. What I think I'm going to move to is the last piece, okay, which is something that Ribbiat mentioned that I wasn't quite sure. What it was, and I actually quoted Ribbiat at the bottom of the page, and then I'll share with you the chart at the end. This is, what if you have something that is really muktza, and you want to use it for the Shabbos? You want to take it away from being muktza. You want to redefine its muktza-ness to something that you want to do. Let's say you have a log, and you want to sit on the log. So a log is not really a plea, but you're in the country and you have no chairs with you. You're deciding this Shabbos, you want to make this your chair. Or let's say you have, a good example is like we have old broken things. I have an old smartphone, or actually it was a dumb phone. I have an old cell phone and I want to give it to the kids to play with. So, or an old tape recorder, or an old something that really is something that should be muksa. And I want to designate it for use on Shabbos. Why? Because kids would play with it. Why not? There's no batteries off and so forth. So, or I have a rock that I want to use the rock for something else. So how can I actually redefine what this object is for the Shabbos or for all Shabbosim? So when I tried to look at the Shulchan Aruch and I tried to look at all the Achronim, I couldn't find a way through it. Every rule seemed to have an exception to the exception to the exception. And I gave you the Chayyadam, and it's like half of what the Chayyadam has. Every example has got a different thing, how you can or you can't redefine it. The Rabbi Ribiot came up with his Klalim, so I thought I'd share them with you. It's not clear how he derived the Klalim. But he says, it depends if I'm defining it for this Shabbos, or I'm defining it for all Shabbosim. If I'm defining it for all Shabbosim, then I can have it in mind that I'm going to redefine. In fact, I don't even need to say this. I don't need to say, Hareini Mukhan Mazuman for this old cell phone is going to be mutter forever and ever. Just having that in mind. I want my kid to use it. I put it in the toy box. I'm not even putting it in the toy box. Excuse me. I just have it in mind. If it's only for this Shabbos, I actually need to do some act that shows that I'm really redefining what the object would be. Maybe I scratch down the log. I only want to use this log for this Shabbos because maybe afterwards I really want to be mooks again because I'm not going to be in the cottage, or I'm going to use it for firewood on Sunday. So then I need to actually do a malacha. So if you look at the bottom of page number 9, Rabbi Ribiot writes and follows, and this is in, he has this whole, and I've never seen anyone out who define this as a type of muksa. But he calls it, you know, I'm not even quite sure what he calls it in Hebrew anymore. Items that are generally classified as muksa, such as rocks, bricks, twigs, and sand, and rocks, bricks, sand, and twigs, may be designated for permitted use. He's an example, designated a rock or brick as a doorstep before the onset of Shabbos. This designation need not be any kind of ceremony, or even a mental designation may be adequate. However, this depends on the nature of designation, permanent designation, or temporary designation. He's the only one that does this. That says the difference is between permanent and between only temporary. But he makes it as a klal for all over. If you look at the chayyadim, it depends. He says, well, this, if you do designate it, is okay because you're probably going to designate it anyway. He seems to make it as a klal all across the board. That's what it seemed to me.
Okay.
That's how he sets it up. Permanent designation, temporary designation.
Right, no, I understand. But the Shulchan Aruch did it too.
Yeah, but yes, but there seems to be a lot of exceptions to the rule.
Yes.
Okay? Oh, he doesn't talk about the exception. Maybe he does. So if one wishes designated permanent designation, doing so only requires mental designation. No physical change need ever be made to the item. For example, a log may be designated as a permanent makeshift bench and may be subsequently moved on Shabbos in the same fashion as furniture. An old broken camera, that's a mistake. Radio, tape, recorder, etc. may be designated as a to become a toy. Sand may be designated for spreading on an icy sidewalk. If the item is meant only for temporary use, for just one Shabbos, then merely resolving to designate its use before Shabbos is not adequate. One must render a physical change to make it suitable for this purpose. If you want to use sand or to smooth, you need to sand down or smooth down a log, put a brick in a wrapper or a plastic bag if you're using the brick just for that Shabbos. To take the coins, you can make coins usable for Shabbos. You wrap them up in some kind of paper, some kind of wrapping for that itself. But he seems to kind of break this across the board. I did not see anyone else who kind of made it this black and white to say that this is it and this is that. In fact, I copied the pages of Ribiot because it just stands out at me. He has a permanent designation, he has a temporary designation to kind of show the difference between the two. Okay, so the last thing that you have on the last page, which I thought was fascinating, and I actually copied it in bigger because it's easier to read. Okay? This is, once again, this is from Rabbi Ribiot. Okay? If you were looking for a summary, this is coming towards the end of this month. It's always good to have summaries, or at least. And it was, I found it in my version of Ribiot's book. Here we go, four copies, okay? And I didn't. It's not in the earlier version, surprisingly. Is how he defines what mukta is. So there are things that you may have included, may not have included, but what's applicable for us really is probably the top column, the top line, and then the bottom line. You have items that are permissible to do. We didn't do tutulim, tiltum, and atzad, really. And touching, nogeh, you can touch. In most cases. And then he goes through the different types of tiltum and atzad. Continuous tiltum and atzad, letzorach davra mutar, mina'er. Right, he doesn't talk about actually tiltu kalacha yad as much as tiltu menatzad, and he doesn't talk about he has he's got mukta machmas gufo that you can move with your ayde begufo. He separates that really from tiltu menatzad. This is called tiltu kil. I guess this is kalacha yad. All right, and then the bottom line is things that are asa that become permissible. And that's the item that we just did. So he breaks this into a whole separate subcategory, becomes permitted, where you designate a muktzah item for Shabbos use permanently and temporarily. But it's an interesting way, if you ever want to try to take a whole look at this, and you probably can, I'm sure Rabbi Ziering and Rabbi Tochino will want to go through and see what do we leave out and what didn't we leave out, or what did he leave out and what didn't we leave out, or maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job.
So we did pretty good.
Right.
What I did point out is that I don't think he has a type here called klishim lachta liyaser. Right. But that may be because he may not define it as muktzah, though he does. He does. Where is it?
He does.
Oh, it's right. So I'm sorry. I mean, it doesn't have it separately. He doesn't have it separately. He has it listed as part of muktzah machmas iser. So when we broke muktzah machmas iser and we did klishim lachta liyaser, we did them actually separately. But otherwise, it gives you a breakdown of what it is. And I thought it was actually a fairly handy chart.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just to give the quick digest of what's coming, I'm giving